For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey gang, it's Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. You're listening to Marriage Therapy Radio, which we are hosting for your edification and enjoyment. So I hope it's edifying and enjoyable to you. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to some clients about this idea that it takes a village specifically to raise a child, but I wondered if it also takes a village to raise a marriage. So Laura and I are going to talk about that today. We're talking about the power and maybe even some of the problems that go with having a social sort of community, social network in your relationship. So stick around.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Well, you know what? I hate it when people say I'm good and they're not really good. Like, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of in a funk, a little bit of
okay.
a funk.
Thanks for being honest with me.
Yeah, just you and our 50 billion listeners. But you know, it's really fun. I listen to our podcast. Do you ever go back and listen to our episodes like while you're driving?
I do. I listen to them with Rebecca.
You do, and you get her commentary on it?
I just watch her face to see if she thinks they're funny.
Oh my gosh.
And sometimes she rolls her eyes at me because stuff that we say on the podcast, she's like, you don't do that in real life.
My favorite was when I just started listening to it because it came out. So today's Tuesday, we're recording for, you know, next week. And I put it on to listen to today's episode that we recorded a couple weeks ago. And Holden goes, Mommy, is that you? And I was like, that's right, Mommy. That's right, Holden. Mommy's famous. Mommy's on the radio.
Well, you're not famous yet, but you're about to be famous, I understand. Is that right?
I'm sure, fingers crossed, I'm sure hoping for it. I wasn't really sure if I wanted to be famous, but now I'm pretty committed to it. Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to tell us about that?
So you know this, but our listeners don't know this. I was contacted by a development company out of LA, and they basically wanted to make a reality show where a therapist was kind of almost like predicting the outcome of a couple's relationship just based on...
Okay. But hold on. What they wanted was a couple of therapists and they started with you and you said, you should talk to my buddy, Zach. And then what happened?
He's great. And then they interviewed you and they loved you.
That is not what happened.
But then they said he just isn't blonde enough or petite enough or have big enough boobs.
Yeah. Okay.
He said, boy, he has a face for radio.
For podcasting. Thank you so much.
Yeah. But no,
So they fell in love with you and then what happened?
And then they flew me out. Here's the crazy part. They flew me out to film basically what's called a sizzle reel. So it's kind of like a pilot where they will shop it around to different networks and say, do you like this show? Do you want to buy it? And then we go into series. And they flew me to Venice Beach and I stayed in Lindsay Lohan's old house. Did I tell you that part?
You did not.
It's pretty,
that's pretty funny.
It was pretty fun because it was when she was coming out of rehab and I was staying in the house and I was pretending to be like really crazy and just like all hopped up on drugs. And it was just a fun experience.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the whole thing was really interesting. I will tell you that reality television is not reality. It may not be scripted, but it is for sure. Like if this ever goes to series, who I am on television is by no means who I am behind closed doors with couples. They kept telling me I need you to be a little bit more like Trump, and I rolled my eyes so hard at that.
Hey, I don't tend to want to be political in like the podcast world, but I did do something the other day that I thought was notable, which was this guy in my practice was saying something like sort of obnoxious to his wife, and I, without thinking, I said, it sounds very presidential.
Okay.
And it was the first time I'd ever used that word as not a compliment.
Uh-huh. We'll just leave it at that, flatline.
There we go. Yeah.
Okay, very presidential. Hey, so yeah. You have to tell me how's your training going? Because you said you're going to do a triathlon, and
my triathlon training, yeah,
yeah.
No, I'm tearing it up. I'm in the pool a whole bunch, and I finally got my bike out of it's not quite storage, but I took it out and started riding it around just
out of
mostly
your man
casually.
Cave.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Out of the birdhouse.
Uh-huh.
And feels good. It's sort of weird. I've ridden a couple of super long, like 200-mile rides a couple
right.
years ago. And it's weird what your body doesn't remember about riding a bike. You know, it's simple. It's,
like
you never forget how to ride
hurts.
A bike. Well, no, it's more like, what gear do I use and how do I do this? And am I okay taking this turn? And how do I get my foot out of the clips here? So
yes.
I needed to take a lot of like passive easy rides to kind of get ready for the longer ones. But
the only way I could complete a long ride was if I did a tour de brewery. There's
gotcha.
A lot of breweries in Seattle, and I would just
yeah.
do a tour from one brewery to the next. And then by the end of the day, I had ridden like 60 miles and I felt fabulous about it.
Yeah. 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 One of the best rides out here in Seattle is, from about my house to the Red Hook Brewery, which
yes.
is a 20-mile ride.
Yep.
And then, you know, in the middle, you get lunch and a beer, and then you come back. And the ride home is a lot more casual.
It's slow. It's a slower
yeah.
ride.
It well,
might
you're in
be
a hurry
little,
to get there.
A little weebly-wobbly as well.
I don't know.
So I was the one who wanted to talk about this today. And
yep.
I'm really interested. I'm preparing a talk here in Salt Lake. And the talk is really about wellness and well-being and resilience. And me being a couples therapist, how do I play into that? And so it's all about how your social network or your social system can either help or hinder your well-being and your health. And I really wanted
okay.
to talk about that because we brought it up in a past episode, talking about how the marriage, the relationship, really shouldn't be an island. You really shouldn't rely on your partner for all of your needs, whatever it might be, your emotional needs, your physical needs, your playful needs, your
sure.
Spiritual needs, whatever it may be. And that importance of being able to have a social network where you can utilize those people in your life to be able to, I don't know, like spread the love a little bit, not rely on your partner so much. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And I'm curious if you've seen this come in, and part of me is wondering if you evaluate, if you recognize or wonder or get curious with partners that come in to understand what their social network looks like.
You know, I don't spend a lot of time talking about that. In fact, I think it's an interesting topic. And you know me, I tend to want to think about things in their converse. So for you to be talking about like what is the value of having a social network? To me, I kind of go, oh yeah, because most of the couples I see, their friends don't have any idea that they're struggling.
Mm.
They might not even know that they're in therapy. I mean, they might know that things are not great, but there's this notion that maybe I'm the only one who doesn't have everything together.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that can be really damaging. It's lonely and it's isolating. So I'm a big fan of social networks. In fact, I was talking to a couple just a couple weeks ago, and they had a big trip coming up that they take every year with a group of friends. And I just said, hey, man, like this can go down a few ways. You guys can go pretend that everything's fine, or this might be a really powerful time for you to say, hey, we're suffering,
mm-hmm.
and let your friends care for you. So maybe you and I have different notion at the moment of what a social network is, but
yeah.
minimally, I don't think you can carry the burden of being in a real live, complicated, sometimes struggling relationship without
mm-hmm.
people around you to help.
You know, it's a little bit touchy because as you're talking about that, I'm imagining it's really tough to be in a relationship and have it be struggling and know where the boundaries lie as far as talking to your friends or family members. I have had many a couple who have come in and they're struggling. Maybe they split up. Maybe they even separate. And what we tend to do is we seek out family members and then we tell them about what's going on in our lives. And unfortunately, usually it's a lot of shit talking at that point because you're really
mm-hmm.
struggling. And the hard part is that I've seen also that couples come back from being separated, they reunite and everything's great. And it's really hard for those family members to get back on board and become friends
mm-hmm.
of the relationship again. And so it's a little bit of a tough boundary as far as knowing how can I utilize my social network in order to support me when I'm struggling, but how do I also maintain a healthy boundary with my relationship? And that's where I see that being difficult. And with the scenario that you just played out, I don't know if I would air my dirty laundry or my laundry at all with a group of people, no matter how close they are. I might talk to my partner. Kind of the rule of thumb that I talk with couples is talk to your partner and say, we need to have outlets. We need to have that social support. Who's going to be your person? Who's going to be my person? And let's agree that we're not going to.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Just, you know, get onto Facebook and start throwing our partner under the bus and telling everybody about what's going on in our relationship, but have some sort of an agreement as to what's okay to talk about and who is it okay to talk about it with.
Well, I think the phrase that you used a little bit earlier that's really essential is this idea of friends of the marriage.
Right.
You need people who are friends of the marriage in order to be able to support the primary goal of airing dirty laundry. I mean, the primary goal in my mind of that sort of environment I was describing isn't to just complain. It's to say, hey, help us, put some support around us. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe you and I are thinking differently right now in the sense that I'm thinking about a couple having a social network versus a person having a social network as part mm-hmm. of a couple. Mm-hmm. I think both are important, but mm-hmm. I do think that they're, you know, if we are in agreement about friends of the marriage and can sort of seek that out for people, and that's what I think a therapist is, right? Sort of a friend of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not lately I feel like I'm having so many people kind of agreeing to terminate the relationship, but wanting to do it in a friendly, regard-filled way uh-huh. on behalf of, say, maybe their kids or something. And I think you can still facilitate that if you're aware of ultimately your ultimate goal. But okay, that's probably a little bit off the rabbit trail there.
What you're still saying is that even though you are facilitating a couple breaking up, you're still friends of the marriage. You're friends of supporting their relationship and their decision to end the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I am kind of talking about two things because I think that we need a support system as a couple. A coupleship that when things go awry or when we just simply need support, there's a lot of different ways that we receive support. And I've been doing a little bit of research on this. You have people that are there to advise you, that give you wisdom. You have people there that are there to give you actual fundamental support. So let's say you have a house fire and your kitchen burns down and now your house is essentially like a space to camp out while it's being there. People are going to give you some fundamental support and they might drop off food for you. They might bring some belongings for you. They may offer to watch your kids, whatever it might be. There's other support. There's obviously like emotional support that when you're struggling, you're there to receive support. There's people that are there to lift you up and encourage you and remind you of, you know, what you've got going for you, whatever it might be. But there's a lot of different ways that you can receive support. And I think that individually, each person needs to have a strong support system in order for that relationship to really be strong. Because if you don't have a support system that you can go to as an individual, oftentimes you're going to place all of that on your partner. You're going to expect mm-hmm. your partner to be that person for you. And I don't think that that's healthy for the relationship at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that's another key difference, right? Earlier in the podcast, you said you shouldn't rely on your partner. And, you know, I think it's okay to rely on your partner. That's and maybe you get lucky, but you shouldn't expect your partner to sort of meet. I mean, mm-hmm. when you have an expectation that somehow they are to be everything I need, then that you're setting yourself and them up for failure.
Right.
I think the part where it gets really tricky is when I turn that attention or when I start to find that need outside the relationship with someone who's not a friend of the relationship. You know,
right. Exactly.
And And now I'm, you know, hanging out with the cool lady from work, or now I'm talking to that guy who used to flirt with me in high school on, you know, I'm talking to him on Facebook or something. And
yeah,
all of a sudden we're just not, we're not paying attention to the proper use, I guess, of leaning on a cultural support system.
Right. Yeah. So if you are going to have a support system, you want to make sure that it's uplifting. That was something that I started thinking about, this idea. So this whole common idea of you are the sum, or you're the average of the five people that you spend the most amount of time with. And I've been thinking okay. about that idea. So go with me on this. If I was okay. to make a list of five people that I am the average of, I'm spending the most amount of time, are these people actually lifting me up and encouraging me and making me a better person? Or are they bringing me down? And if they're bringing me down, I think it's time to purge. But another way to think about that is, are these five people also friends of the relationship? Like, are they supporting me as an individual? And are they supporting my marriage? Are they somebody that's encouraging to my relationship? I was thinking about this. I was, I've thought about a lot of like the different girls trips that I've gone on. So I don't know when the last time you went on like a guy's trip, or like all dudes, or a bachelor party.
It's not really my thing, but yeah, go ahead.
It's probably been about 40 years since you've been on a bachelor party, but
yeah. I was married 19 years ago. Yes. Or yeah. 21 years ago, probably about 20 years since I've been a bachelor party.
Okay. And I was just thinking about, the variety of individuals that show up to these sort of bachelorette parties. Of course, I'm coming back from Vegas, so you can imagine sort of my experience. And how we support one another as people who are married, and how we may also encourage bad behavior. And it's just, it's interesting as you start to think about how these people are influencing you. And if you are the average of these individuals, are they bringing you up, or are they bringing you down? Or are they friends of the marriage? Or are they not friends of the marriage? And is it time to purge? And is it time to seek out new friendships, new supports for your relationship and for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These are all things that rattle around in my head, you know, while I'm driving and carpooling. Yeah.
Well, I don't know the answer. You know, I think it's a really intriguing, the answer is an answer to a question I haven't exposed. So I have this question in my brain. I was like, I don't know the answer to this question. I haven't told you what it is. But what do you do? Like, what is the role of the therapist in helping construct these systems, or helping encouraging these systems? You know, like, now I'm like, I don't really know the answer. I mean, it's hardly appropriate to say, why don't you go out and get some friends, or some better friends? You know, but there is some permission granting to evaluate your social environment and see if it is serving the relationship and serving the person that you wish to be and be becoming.
Permission granting, and something that I've thought about too, and we've talked a little bit about this, maybe we haven't, is the idea that I've kind of been playing with this idea of my own relationship, that every week we should have an opportunity where we're able to be by ourselves. So let's just say on like a Sunday morning, my husband says, peace out, I'm going to go golfing. I'm going to do 9 holes and I'll be back in 2 hours. And I'm like, that's great. Go do that for yourself. But I also think that he needs an opportunity to say, okay, now it's a Tuesday evening and I'm going to go grab dinner with a couple of my colleagues. And that's his opportunity for socializing outside of the relationship.
Okay.
And then I also think that we need as a relationship an opportunity to say, we're leaving you at home, son, with a babysitter, and mom and dad are going to go and have a date night. And I think that those three things need to be in balance: the alone time, the time with friends, nurturing those outside relationships, and then nurturing your own relationship and having that be in balance. And so I've been playing with that idea and really trying to support his need for friendship and my need for friendship and those support networks and really nurturing that time. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, do you guys have any sort of an agreement, either explicit or,
I think it's just understood. It's just understood. I mean, I think we have, Rebecca's going out tonight with a girlfriend and just kind of told me this afternoon. Right. And I'm like, great, cool. See you later.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got 20 something years in. One Tuesday night doesn't doesn't rattle the whole cage. And maybe that's because some of these like appropriate systems are built in, you know?
You said something interesting about rattling the cage, because I will tell you, I spent probably the first 10 years of my relationship with my husband guilt tripping him anytime he wanted to spend some time either alone.
It's a good strategy.
It was good. It wasn't super effective because he still left. And then I just was left with my own guilt. But it's taken some time. And I guess I wanted to say that, because if you are somebody that's sitting and listening to this podcast and you're saying, I don't like the idea of my partner taking away from our together time to be with other people, to nurture relationships with other people, or to nurture their own self-care time alone, you're not alone. I really struggled with that. My time is valuable with my husband, but at the same time, I do think it's needed, necessary.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I don't disagree.
This podcast has been brought to you by Laura's idea and Zach's agreement.
Yeah, right on.
All right.
Yeah, so we had a lady who wanted to maybe advertise with us, and then we told her we only had 20 listeners or something, and
40,000
to us again. 20,000, whatever.
Yeah.
So we're still hoping that one day we will bring the podcast to you sponsored by someone. But it's not going to be right now.
Yeah, it's not going to be this lady with the tea that makes you poop. The detox tea.
Yeah. I was excited about it, though. I was ready. I don't drink tea, but I would have done it for her.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I will send you my favorite detox tea, and will love it. Nope, you're good?
No, it's okay. I'm all right.
Okay, good.
All right, well, I'm going to go swimming tonight.
Good.
While my wife is on a happy hour date, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Okay, sounds good. I'm gonna see clients tonight, so enjoy your swim.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio and my ramblings, because I'm quite passionate about having a strong social network. It has been one of those things that has gotten me through rough times. It's been one of those things that has pushed me to become a better person. And just when I feel like I have enough friends, I open my heart and I make some new friends, and I'm always happy about it. So if you're somebody who's listening and you feel like maybe your relationship is an island, or maybe you do need a support network that is going to lift you up as an individual, something that you can do is just find a common interest, something that you're interested in. Maybe it might be hiking, or it might be singing karaoke in dive bars, and go to meetup.com and check out all of the different groups in your area. You are guaranteed to find something that resonates for you. And find a way to make some new friends. So as always, thank you so much for your time and your energy, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.